Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Welcome to the Dog Pod, your home for fans of the Seattle Mariners Baseball Club.
Oh, woof.
At least for a little bit. And then back on to the University of Washington's Husky Tackle football team. Yikes. So after a 4-0 start and a top 20 ranking with wins over Michigan State, traditional rival Stanford, the upstart new look Huskies came crashing back to preseason expectations of many. 40-32 and 45-38 losses on the road to UCLA and ASU. The Huskies are halfway through the regular season. I think it's time to assess where we're at and look forward. Lodog, you want to get into it?
Let's do it, BT, as long as we don't have to talk about the Mariners.
No, we don't. We don't. And hopefully next time we chat, we've got something a little more interesting to talk about with respect to the Mariners. Now, we were off for the last 2 weeks on the road, on road assignments. It's time for our Road Dog report. And Lodog, I'm going to start with you. You were the most recent, and then I'm going to get into my trip down to UCLA and the Rose Bowl. You were down in the greater Phoenix area, donning the purple and gold, buddy. Give me the cliff notes.
So this is my first time to ASU. It's my 10th stadium out of the Pac-12 stadiums, BT. And I have to say, I mean, you know, the setting, it's kind of cool. You got an urban type of campus, you know. The fans, I think I saw the listed attendance was 38,000 or 42,000, something like that. I would tell you there were half that many people at the stadium. We knew this was kind of going to be a little bit of a sleeper in terms of attendance from the ASU fans. But, you know, the place does get kind of loud, just the way I think it's built. I think they have a rabid fan base that when the ones who do show up. And also, BT, not for nothing, they actually just pump dance party music into the stadium like most of the time when there's any kind of downtime right before the kickoff at commercial breaks. It's just like constantly pumping dance music. And I mean, I gotta say, after about, I don't know, like the first time out in the first quarter, I was pretty much done with it. However, we also had some fans right in front of us who were very loudly cheering for ASU and were really irritated the fact that we were cheering for Washington. So then at the end of the game, they began recording us on Snapchat, our reactions to ASU key plays, including the go-ahead touchdowns, and posting our reactions on Snapchat. So, you know, if anyone out there wants to look for that, I'm sure it's findable. But other than that, you know, I mean, this ASU team obviously wasn't super impressive going into the game, but it was a big shot in the arm to beat Washington, and we haven't won down there. Huskies haven't won since 2001, and you just kind of can see why. It's a tough place to play between the heat and the, you know, it's kind of a loud stadium. Huskies did have a lot of fans there, but I can't imagine that, you know, that they're not outnumbered pretty significantly in most games down there. Sure. In Tempe. So overall, I'd give it a B minus because I'm being charitable today.
Yeah, and any game notes from it? I mean, we're gonna get into our assessment of the offensive defense to the state, but you know, talk to me about watching it. I watched it on TV, obviously, screaming my face off. Talk to me about some of the in-game like turns that you saw and what that was like.
You know, I'd say a couple of key points in the game. One, the pick six off Jackson Kirkland's helmet. You know, that just kind of like, that just kind of, the Huskies were going down to score and kind of expand their lead and instead, you know, fell behind at that point and never really got caught up. So I'd say that was just one that really stuck with me as a big turning point in the game. And then also just the end point in the game. You know, the Huskies crawling back, they get the turnover back, they get a stop, but then, you know, really shooting themselves in the foot on that last drive. And so, you know, it just was the Desert Dogs, you know? I mean, they just didn't really show up and didn't really come to play. And, you know, you give ASU credit because they got it done at home, but, you know, it's hard to watch this Husky team on the road right now. They just don't seem to be the same team.
Yeah, it was one of those, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And whether that's from calls, balls bouncing off offensive linemen's heads, you know, you're trying to get cute and run a sweep on a fourth down in your own 30. you know, special teams, you name it. It was tough. You know, I've been down there before and I would agree. Same thing. When I was there, it was 97 degrees blazing heat for that last time we were there and lost on that Jake Browning, you know, which was kind of the turn of the season. If you remember that, where
the turn of the whole program,
the whole program really was, I mean, and, you know, that was the last loss of the regular season after that. I mean, he gave up 17 of the fourth quarter. We gave him 17 in the fourth quarter and they came back. Let me talk about, you know, so we have two kind of road dog trips. Should I talk a little bit about UCLA?
Yeah, let's hear about the Rose Bowl.
So UCLA, you know, I've been to the Rose Bowl multiple times for UCLA games, and this is one that's on my list to hit this year because I don't know if we're going to be back there outside of an actual bowl game. And, you know, Friday night game at Pasadena, as you can imagine, you know, great setting, really nice weather, took some crazy back roads to get there. This is a father-son, father-daughter trip that I take every year. We had 30 this year, 30 dad and kids with us in a big party bus that got crazy on the way there. And, you know, kids were laughing at their old man, you know, singing along to, you know, to Tupac and all the hits of the 90s when we were in school and having a great time. And you would get there. It's, I would say the Washington warmups, which sometimes I've been critical of, was pretty strong. They had a good Washington warmup there. And same thing, you know, you walk into the Rose Bowl. There might have been 10,000, 12,000. I don't know. They're calling 25,000 people there. And at the very beginning of the game, it felt like our side was half Husky fans. I mean, there was a lot of Husky fans there. To your note on the noise, they're pumping in music. And the thing that pissed me off, they're pumping it in loud. And when we're on offense, it's going a full second to almost 2.5 seconds after the ball is snapped, which you should not be able to do. But they can't make their own noise because no one shows up to the game. And so they're pumping in this crap.
No, and even if they're doing that up into the snap, right? It's like maybe that's not – I just feel like that is artificially kind of disrupting the game. And you never see that at Husky Stadium. And I think they should be penalized. Like teams should be penalized for doing that. Maybe like, you know, up to 5 or 10 seconds on the play clock or something like that. But, you know, but
you want to bring your own
what a time limit on it.
You want to bring your own crowd noise?
Bring
rock
it.
And roll. You want to bring your own band, get loud, trumpets, whatever, bring it. But that they've got a new LED light system that they turn out the lights a bunch whenever there's, you know, in between plays and crank on these LED lights, which you can do there. And it's, you know, I'm sure if a home fan, you think it's pretty cool, but it's definitely super distracting. I mean, I would just say all up great experience down there, except for the game. We just didn't have any answers for DTR. And he passed for, it was like 315 yards, 3 touchdowns, ran for a score. We couldn't stop Zach Charbonnet, 124 yards in a score. We couldn't stop Jake Bobo. You know, he went for 142 yards and a pair of TDs. We had no answer. And it was like, we keep starting off these games every way we, like UW marching down the field and scoring. Just freaking hot.
Six out of six games.
It's been amazing.
Six out of six games, starting the game with a touchdown the first drive.
This one went a little sideways earlier, though, where like, to me, the domino effect of, 40-yard kickoff return to Kazmir Allen. You stop him on the 2. Then we give up a safety to Alapapa Bobbles, you know, in the end zone. And then, to me, it wasn't even that, but, like, the next one, they, you know, we pin him on the 7. They just march down 93 yards for a touchdown. And then that second quarter, we suck in the second quarter now. 17 unanswered points. You go in 26-10. And then, you know, Penix threw in a pair of picks. It's just, you know, we score 16 in the fourth against their prevent. But too little, too late. You know, it was tough. So, you know, all in all, I still recommend, it's a bummer to me losing USC and UCLA within the conference. It's such a great road experience. And there's so many Husky alums in Southern California, as there are down in the Phoenix area, that you miss that in some other, you know, Big Ten or some other conference. And it makes for an amazing experience that I'm going to be bummed out, but it sucked to lose another one down there in the Rose Bowl that I really felt like, you know, watching these two games, and we're going to get into this, UCLA, in my opinion, was the better team, probably still the better team. And they're playing better than I thought they would. ASU, I feel like we got outcoached a bit. We got too cute. We had a bunch of dumb blunders. And the better team did not win that day. But UCLA, we play them 10 times. I think they win 6-7. You know, they're playing at a different level right now.
No, I agree with that. I think there's something to be said about a team. You know, I've said this before. It's kind of difficult to predict the emotions of college football. But there's something to be said when you fire the coach, the players rally around the interim coach. It always happens, right? It always happens. Now, ASU was tasked with, go beat USC, that first week after Herm Edwards retired. Was it Utah? Anyway, they had a tough game.
USC, but they looked they looked good. They had moments within on the road in the Coliseum where they looked good.
Right, and so then you get back home for the first time under their new coach. They got a beatable Washington team that they haven't lost to in 21 years at home coming into their house, and you know they just rallied around their coach, and you know maybe it's a sign of things to come. Maybe the ASU will totally get things turned around. I have a feeling though that once there's some new film on these new coaches that ASU's, you know, not going to be able to ride the emotional wave all season long. I think they're going to come crashing down to earth. I think we got bad luck with the timing, but also didn't play very well.
That's right. Well, look, it's midpoint through the year. I'm going to ask you one question before we get into the offense and defense. And we talked about this a little bit with the group that was watching the game. Most people, and I think you did, and I may have chalked up preseason that we're probably going to lose to UCLA on the road, maybe Michigan State, but we may have penciled in ASU as a potential win. I don't think that we thought UCLA was going to be this good, and I don't think we thought ASU was going to be this bad. Have these two losses taken off the shine and the veneer of starting the season 4-0, the Michigan State win, etc.?
Certainly not the UCLA loss, I think, to your point. I think, you know, I was looking at this trip to the desert this year as like, hey, where this is the year we're going to end the streak down there. We're going to, you know, we're going to go finally play well in the desert. We're coming off a road game. We're kind of used to the road atmosphere, and we're going to come ready to play. And, you know, I had a lot of faith in our coaches being able to get the players up for a game like that. And so I think after the UCLA loss, you're right, not a whole lot of shine was kind of rubbed off of the, you know, the Huskies appearance. But then I think that ASU game, it really took us down a notch in my mind. And yeah, I'd say if we'd lost to Michigan State and yet lost to UCLA and had beaten ASU, we'd still be 4-2. I'd be feeling better than I am right now.
Yeah, it's tough. It's one of those ones like when, you know, Colorado last year, take your pick, where you just should not be losing these games. But let's get into, I think, one of the primary reasons why I'm going to start us off and just give a little bit of midseason defense review. The defense is a kind of bad we haven't seen in a very long time in these last two losses. I'm trying
Nick
to remember
Holt,
the last.
Maybe
that's what I thought. It hasn't been since Holt. I mean, when we've been really this bad, all up statistically, if you look at, you know, the whole, we're in the middle of the pack, 26.8 points a game. We give up 234 passing yards, six picks, all mid solid, like all those statistics, we are number six in the conference. But you look at the losses and just freaking woof, man. UCLA, no turnovers forced. We give up 500 yards, 4.7 yards a rush, 9.5 per pass. ASU, we give up 400 yards, 8 yards to the pass, including 22 of 30 to a walk-on quarterback. We couldn't get off the field. 9 of 13 on third down. Look, after amassing, what, 15 sacks in the first three games? One in the last two. Five a game the first three, one in the last two. We're not getting after and containing the quarterback. I mean, whether it's Charbonnet, Valade, Nagata, they're just getting what they want, the run. Zero quarterback hits, three total pressures on 44 pass rush attempts against ASU. And the Sun Devils had given up 14 sacks coming into the game.
No, that was on my radar too. Five sacks in each of the last two games going into that ASU game, and the Huskies couldn't get to the quarterback at all. I did want to point out though, UCLA, their offensive line, I mean, their team mascot is the Bruins. I thought a few of those guys were actual Bears. They had biggest offensive line in this conference I can even remember seeing. And I remember just watching that and going, man, our D line just looks puny up against these guys, right? And so I think to your earlier point, I think UCLA is better than we gave them credit for, and I think they're going to be in it to the end. A lot of power rankings and stuff, you're seeing them at the top or number two in the conference. I think that's probably where they're going to end up. The ASU game, though, again, it's like there's no explanation for it. Why is a team that's giving up five sacks in each of the last 2 weeks, you know, protecting their quarterback with virtually unscathed against the Huskies,
particularly against a very immobile quarterback? Look, Braylon Trice, Jeremiah Martin, everything that has been working for them just hasn't been. And look, injuries are excuses, and right. I mean, and there you go. But let's talk about that. Of our 12 players on the secondary and the two deeps beginning of the season, half have missed multiple games. You're missing Michel Powell and Asa Turner, and that's hurt a lot. But, you know, you still look back on that. Even Michel Powell was a walk-on, right? Perryman's is a transfer from FCS. And missing them has been, you know, maybe these guys weren't the, you know, NFL caliber folks that we have graduated. And missing them is killing us. Irvin's a converted safety. Alex Cook was a receiver. You know, take your pick in that secondary. I mean, you know, it's funny. Our old DBU Jimmy Lake shirts, you know. I mean, we're not wearing them for a multiple set of reasons right now. Look at that line. MJ Ale. He's, you know, is hurt. Tule only played 12 snaps late in the game. Kau Pahopa suspended. And we're seeing a bunch of, like, you know, Voit Tanufi, who I think hasn't played horribly, but, like, redshirt freshman. True freshman, Javon Parker. Getting serious minutes, right? And if you look at, like, the scheme, it doesn't seem to matter. We're running mostly cover one, some cover four, a little bit of cover three for pass pro. But, like, you're giving up yards to it all. And it doesn't matter. You like look at what ASU did to us, man, zone, pretty much the same.
And yeah. I don't know.
I like on third and long, it's like interesting because we're not dropping eight in third and long. And I wonder if it's saying, look, it doesn't really matter if we drop 7, 8, 9. We're not going to get the job done. So I'd rather have that extra body up front and try to create pressure. Like, I guess that's the strategy. But I mean, look, these last two games, we haven't seen Husky D be this much of a liability for quite some time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're scheming to the issues that we're talking about right here because, you know, they're so banged up on the back line. They're playing a lot more zone and the teams are just decimating it. And then, like you said, on the issues up front, you know, they're running a lot of stunts and a lot of kind of long developing plays. If you just go back there with the plan and go, okay, I'm going to do a 5-step drop and get rid of it. You know, we're not necessarily getting to the quarterback in those situations. They're trying to scheme up, you know, around their deficiencies and trying to get, and you've seen it work against, you know, Michigan State and Stanford. This team was, you know, sacking the quarterback and getting tons of pressure. It's not hard for teams to look at that film and go, okay, this is what they do. So now what we need to do is, you know, get back on your lines quicker and, you know, wait for, you know, just hold your zone, right? Don't worry about following the guard or the nose guard on a stunt or something like that. So in any case, I think you're right. This has been kind of top to bottom. There's been issues. And, you know, it just came to a head against ASU, really hard to watch.
Oh, yeah, big time. It was just a comedy of errors. But look, the D is concerning to me. When you're giving up this amount of points, it puts too much pressure on the offense. And where you start seeing offense, you know, maybe some of this is like Penix putting pressure on himself and he's giving a bunch of picks up to UCLA, et cetera. Because if we're not putting up 45, 47, we're not going to win. But that's my
hell. Or going for fourth down on your own 30-yard line because you know you can't punt the ball back to them.
Look, I can't put the ball back to you, and you're probably going to score whether we punt it or whether we give it up to you on the 30, and so we really need these points here. We might as well go for it. Yeah. It's tough. There's individual performances, and whether that's Thule when healthy, whether that's Asa Turner when healthy, whether that's, you know, frankly, the linebacking core, if I could point to anything, it's been one that is – I'd like to see a little bit more pressure for them. I'd like to have them shore up against the pass of the middle and hit the line, hit the line of scrimmage a little bit closer on run plays. But that's not the weakness. I just think, look, this one's just tough. I think it's going to be. I don't see a fix, even if the team all gets healthy, which they're not going to. This is going to be a struggle for this season.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have another challenge coming at you this week. With Jaden DeLora and Arizona. And I think we're going to really see where they are. I mean, Arizona will get to it, but I mean, second in the league in passing yards per game and 10th nationally. So, I mean, we know what they're going to try to do.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely. They've seen the tape. So that's my grade. I'm not going to give out unit by unit grades, but I just want to prep Husky Nation for another 6 weeks of, boy, let's hope the offense can score. Let's hope that the defense gets a little bit more healthy. And that we can scheme up a few new things to get some more pressure on the quarterback like we had the first three games. How about that offense? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the tale of two teams, right? You look at last year, maybe in the last 2 years, this defense, the Husky defense has been, you know, death row. And maybe not at the same level it was under Kwiatkowski and some of the glory years under Peterson there, but the offense was completely unwatchable these last two seasons. And now, you know, we have this, the complete opposite of that. As I mentioned, Arizona, 10th in the nation and second in the conference in passing yards per game. Well, guess who's first in the conference in passing yards per game? Second nationally. That would be UW, led by Michael Penix Jr., 357 yards per game through the air. So they're airing it out. Even against ASU, you could see them trying to establish the run quite a bit. And eventually they just said, you know what, we're in a shootout, we're just going to gun it. And I mean, they barely ran the ball the second That's half, right. really. And so, I think this has been a huge turnaround, something that I wouldn't have even ever expected to be able to happen. And think about also what you've lost. Terrell Bynum, Puka Nacua, like key players off this offense a couple of years ago, basically just gone and replaced with Roma Dunze and Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk that are just playing at, you know, basically an all conference level. So when it comes to airing it out, throwing the ball, Huskies are, I mean, second in the country in yards per game. So I think that's nothing to sneeze at. And then you also look at sacks allowed. They've only given up 5 sacks all season. That's tied for second in the conference. And tackles for loss allowed, they've only allowed 18. That's first in the Pac-12. So the offensive line is also doing its part. I think where I'd like to see some improvement is I think this running game is just not – it's just not what it should be. Tuala Papa, big drop on the goal line in the Rose Bowl, and then there was that slip on third down, that crucial third down that led us to go for the 4th-and-1 late in the game against ASU. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, you hang the kid for making a couple of mistakes, but I think at this point we've seen enough of Cam Davis to say, maybe I want to see a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And Richard Newton, I think, has had some moments where he's gotten in some games. Will Nixon had some moments early in the season. So I think their commitment to Tuala Papa is a little bit head scratcher for me. I think he's had some good moments too, but there's been enough issues there that I think that I'd like to see another look maybe. And also
we don't know his injury situation either. We don't know his and Newton's injury situation coming out of the ASU game.
Yeah. So that's a key wild card, right? We don't know about that. But then also I want to turn to the kind of the goal line. I wouldn't even call it red zone necessarily, but definitely the goal line offense. You know, this is a team that loves to spread it out. Grubb and DeBoer love to just kind of open up the field, spread it out. Well, when you're down in the red zone, you can't do that, right? Everybody knows you're going to run the ball, or, you know, they don't have to cover as much distance.
Cover the short slants. Yep.
And I think they really need to improve on that part of the field. And Tuala Papa, to that point, I think he hasn't been kind of a killer on the goal line. It's been kind of tough sledding to get him to get that last yard down there. So that's why I'd like to see some improvement. I'd like to see a change there. But, I mean, other than that, you can't ask more of these guys. I mean, they're putting up 41 points a game, and they're putting all sorts of pressure on the defenses they play. Mm-hmm. I had no doubt in my mind, you know, the Huskies would have scored on that last drive if not the botched snap against ASU. You know, and then you're at 4th-and-35 or whatever with all the time on the clock that you lost. So, you know, it was a killer, but, you know, they would have come down the field and scored. I have no doubt in my mind. They were moving the ball with ease.
Was that a botched snap, or was that supposed to be a
fake wild? It was kind of a low. I thought it was a low snap, personally.
But are you sure it wasn't going to Cam Davis in like a wildcat where they were –
on 3rd-and-10, I don't know.
He was standing. I couldn't tell if he was trying to hit him at an angle though, and that was the play. Like if you look at it from the video from the back, it was a mess either way.
Yeah. I mean, you can't let that happen, obviously, in that kind of situation. I think that would be an unusual, highly unusual call, even for this coaching staff, to pull out a wildcat on 3rd-and-10 in that late closing situation. But I will tell you, they had a couple of nice runs in the game where they just ran kind of some simple you know, draw plays and just up the gut and gashed ASU's defense for 20 a few different times just after opening up that entire defense with the pass. So, you know, it's clear they're leaning on the quarterback in the passing game to open up the field. We'll see how much success they're going to have with that, especially when you get down in the red zone and the goal line situations and then against better defenses that they run into.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, we've gone through the roller coaster with this team in the DeBoer era. And I hope every now and then we have a season with a stinker or two. And I think we talked about this year, even when we mapped out the season and thought, well, we're going to struggle with UCLA. If Michigan State's anything like they were last year, which they aren't, we're going to struggle there. And then we probably got a stinker somewhere, right? There's a game in which we're going to, and hopefully that was it.
Yeah. And I think we've had tough times when we have had these five road games and we have the 4-5 split, right, with the 4 home and 5 road, because it's just tough to win 3 or 4 games on the road on a schedule like that. And look at who's coming up. I mean, you know, Cal is next week. That's going to be down there. Huskies have not played well there in the last few couple of meetings. Yeah. And then you go to Oregon, and then you're going to Wazoo. So it's not getting easier. I mean, if we're going to win a road game this year, it's going to need to, you know, the coaches are going to need to turn it around.
Well, should we talk a little bit about Arizona coming to town?
Let's do it.
Next week, Arizona 2:30 Pac-12 Network, Zona 3-3, but also 1-2 like your Huskies in conference play. This is a renewed Arizona team. First sellout, 50,000 fans at home against Oregon, which, you know, I don't think they've done in 7 years. Some good recruiting classes. You know, so they're at a point where this isn't your rollover Arizona that we've seen the last couple of years. Let's get in. Talk to me a little bit about our offense, what you want to see from them against that Arizona defense.
Well, if you're going to put a strength on this Arizona defense, I mean, they obviously have not been lights out defensively. They're kind of more of an offensive team. But if you want to put attribute a strength to them, it's going to have to be in the passing game. They in terms of yards allowed through the air, they're third in the conference with 202 yards. You know, that's 33 yards better than UW. And it's really only 40 yards off of, 21 yards off of what Utah is doing this year as the number one team. So they clamp it down a little bit. One thing they have not really done is win the turnover battle. They only have 2 interceptions, despite, you know, kind of having a little bit more of a stout secondary. And they're actually -4 on the season overall on turnover battle. So I think that's an area where the Huskies, if they can protect the ball, and use their turnover margin, which is +3, 5th in the conference this year, I think that's a way they could kind of gain an advantage in this game. And you saw it last week against ASU and even against UCLA, right? 1 or 2 turnovers, it just kind of turns the game to the point where, you know, now you're playing from behind as opposed to playing from ahead. So that can really matter. It's probably really going to matter on Saturday. And, of course, Jaden DeLora, right? Public enemy number one, who's not Yordan Alvarez in Seattle right now, right? Is Jaden DeLora, you know, planting the flag at Husky Stadium last year. Obviously, you know, the team is highly motivated to win that one. So I think that's going to be very interesting, Arizona, to see them chuck the ball. But I think also, you know, the rest of this defense, I think, is pretty mediocre. It's pretty middle of the pack. You know, on third down, they're only 6th in the conference. In the red zone, let me check that one. The red zone, you know, they're towards the back of the pack at 10th. So I don't know that this is going to be a highly defensive battle. You know, if you got the over BT, I'm probably looking at putting a few coins on that one this week. If it's going to be a shootout, I think the Huskies are going to need to bring their A game offensively, because I think this Arizona D, it is improved over what they were, but definitely prides themselves on defending the pass.
We're going to see from a culture perspective how this team regroups after 2 really tough weeks, and particularly I think the ASU one, where you start to see guys in a weaker culture in the locker room turning on each other.
How do they come together after this and just get up for this game in which, you know, after these two, you're probably not thinking what you were the week prior, 2 weeks prior. You're just, your thought process is a little bit different. And can they get this team into that 1-0 mentality that they always talk about? You know, look, how our defense is going to shape up against this offense. They're in middle of the road statistically. They put up about 30 a game, heavy passing attack. 60% of their plays are passing, 70% of their total yards. As you mentioned, we all remember Jaden Delora and, you know, hey, Cougar for life until he decided to jump ship. Elusive, not a big downfield runner, putting a ton of yards on the field. It's interesting. I say 24 attempts for 25 yards, but he is elusive, tough to bring down. He's got a nice arm, but he's prone to picks. 7 on the year already. Running, they're using Michael Wiley, Jonah Coleman, DJ Williams each. They got about 40 to 60 rushes each. Wiley's definitely the most effective. Jacob Cowing, I mean, he's by far the biggest playmaker. 643 yards in the season, 7 touchdowns. And I hate to admit this on my Pac-12 fantasy team, but he's not the only attack. You've got Dorian Singer, Tatori McMillan. They're all solid, and they're going to cause our secondary fit. So, look, we better have figured out something with whoever can suit up. Something that works. And what was killing me, what isn't going to fly, is if we getting beat one-on-one coverage where, you know, quarterback throws, you know, Delora throws a great ball, Cowing makes an amazing play, whatever. I'm sure you saw this at ASU, and I saw it once, a handful of times at the UCLA game, where completely wide open receivers streaking down the middle, splitting
and defenders. Nobody able to even touch him after they catch the ball for
no one able to touch him because they're completely not in play, and you know the safety doesn't pick up, you know, your corner's turning around, assumes the safety's got him, and he's just wide open streaking down. Those are ones that I think are really frustrating, so we're gonna have to step it up. But as you said, I think this is going to be a big time shootout, and I really want to see something out of the entire coaching staff to get whatever we have together, whoever's healthy and can suit up, ready and in a position to succeed with some schemes that will work against this Arizona offense. I want to see it.
Just one note on special teams, BT, or a couple little short notes.
Please.
Arizona actually highest kickoff return average in the Pac-12. They haven't taken any kicks all the way, but they have the highest average on returns. And also they're the only team in the conference who has blocked a kick this year. That was freshman safety Dalton Johnson. And so I think that's just a couple of things to keep an eye on. Huskies special teams have solidified quite a bit over those first few weeks, but we've definitely seen some leaks, especially on the many kickoffs that we've had to do. You know, there have been a few that have leaked through, and that's something to watch for on Saturday against Arizona.
Absolutely. And look, Husky Nation, I'd love to see as many of you there as you can. This is going to be a real pathetic attendance from a numbers perspective, because we're competing with Mariners, first Mariners playoff game in Seattle, first one ever at whatever you're going to call it at TMO, but first one in 21 years here in Seattle that starts at 1:00, Husky kickoff at 2:30. It's going to be sparse attendance. Right. So those are the things that need to be loud.
Yeah, I'm not. It's kind of disheartening, but at the same time, you know, this is just how it goes. You got it. You know, if you're the top dog in town, you get the crowds, and you know, that's par for the course.
It does crack me up though that you get these when the NFL is just like, oh, we'll just move the game, no big deal. And like college football, oh God, no. We're not gonna. I mean, that just would be absurd.
We just set this game time 9 days ago. We can't move it now.
We're just gonna cannibalize attendance, and you know, what do we care? It'll just be ticket resale prices that I think get really hurt. But look, we're gonna be there. I'm excited for it. I think it's one where you can set the ship right and show that the last two games were the anomaly, and that this is a team that can still compete, can get to 5 wins. You know, 5-2 is something that I think is still probably a little bit about most Husky fans thought we were going to be preseason. 14.5 points. What do you think about that line?
Well, I gotta say, I'm just probably not touching any of these two touchdown lines for the Huskies, you know, the rest of the season. If I had to pick one, I'd probably take the Cats. I just, you know, we've been two touchdown favorites each of the last you know, several weeks, and I think barely covered against Stanford. But you know, I think weren't we also favored at UCLA? It's just
favored at UCLA as well, which I couldn't figure out.
I don't know what the public markets, I think, were a little bit off, especially in the first few weeks. Washington was coasting a little bit on, you know, beating some subpar opponents. So, you know, I think that line's pretty big.
Yeah, it's a big one. Same thing. I don't know where they're getting that. I bet it pulls down a little bit. Let's just get a dog win. I'm not worried about that 14. Couple Pac-12 notes we have to talk about. Let's the coaching carousel begin.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously Herm Edwards fired, some say, on the field a few weeks ago after losing to Eastern Michigan, but then you've since seen some action in Colorado firing Carl Durrell. That one surprised me a little bit more. I just think that the Regents and the Colorado University kind of leadership there, I didn't see this coming. Basically, Carl Durrell, with only really two seasons worth of games, even though he's been there for three seasons because of the COVID reduced season in 2020, where he actually had some success and they got to a bowl game, but they have just been unwatchable this season. And the regression that you've seen, I think the, you know, that creates a lot of pressure. You know, it's easy for us from afar to kind of snicker, but I mean, if you're a booster, if you're a season ticket holder, you're getting involved, you're contacting the university leadership, and they just couldn't take it anymore. So Durrell also gone. I kind of think that leaves an interesting question of who's going to be next, VT. I mean, you'd look around and go, okay, Stanford is so bad under David Shaw the last couple of seasons, but it's hard for me to see them making a change, especially, you know, they're paying him, you know, he's the highest paid coach of the conference by some accounts, right? So, or other than Lincoln Riley, I guess, before the Lincoln Riley contract, but, you know, you'd maybe think that Shaw would be next. But after that, I don't know.
Yeah. And do they care enough down at Stanford to let him go at this point? And if they care enough to pay him that much, maybe they care enough to let him go. But, you know, around the conference, you start seeing some other coaches, you know, whether, you know, Wisconsin, the Carolina Panthers also making some even more questionable, that a lot of the, I think, good coaching candidates are going to be out and about.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Matt Rhule fired by Carolina, so much success at Temple and then Baylor. I mean, he could be plugged in essentially. Like, if someone like ASU were to hire him, he could be plugged in, you know, next week if he wants to make a move like that. So that makes things very interesting, because that'll give somebody a head start. Definitely just with the way that the calendar is set now, when you have this weekend of commitment deadline, I should say, for high school football players in December now, right? You just don't have time. If you're on the coaching carousel, like, you need to get moving. You can't hire after the season and give your guy 2 weeks to put together a recruiting class. It just doesn't work. So, I mean, I think something's got to change on that. But I think that's why these teams and programs are making these moves earlier, because they know that recruiting deadline is just so important.
That's right. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I think you're starting to see some of the bottom third of the pack making moves, and maybe a little earlier than we would have thought. But the end of some of those experiments that, frankly, the Herm Edwards one, everyone was scratching their head. He had proved us wrong for a handful of games. And the Carl Durrell one, I think, was a total head scratcher and never really panned off in a way that that people had hoped. But I didn't understand that one from the beginning. What's going to change things in the Pac-12, though? So some TV contract talk that's happening. Talk to me about that, man. What's going on?
Well, John Wilner had a very interesting article there about Pac-12 potentially going all in with Amazon. I don't think he was reporting that this was going to happen, but basically he was talking about an interesting scenario whereby the Pac-12 could go all in with, like, a full sponsorship, basically the Amazon.com Pac-12, right? And getting Prime, you know, available on campuses in the dorms and delivery and all of that stuff beyond just the TV money, right? But I think the Pac-12, so we do know this has been reported, that exclusive negotiating window with Fox and ESPN has closed fairly recently in the last few days. Obviously, a deal was not struck, or we would have some more news on that. But that means they're taking everything to the market. And I imagine that they're going to be trying to we're assuming that Fox is going to be out because they're investing so much in the Big Ten in this upcoming deal. We're assuming that ESPN is going to be coveting some of those late night games that they've had for years, and that that's going to be continuing if you're a Pac-12 fan. Maybe not. I don't know if you saw the Stanford-Oregon State game on Saturday, BT,
yeah.
But you saw all the shots of the fans and, like, the kids sleeping in the mom's.
Oh, brutal.
Just like,
come on. Just
I
come
mean,
on.
It's almost like they were going out of their way to just be like, yeah, this is how it is. And, I mean, you know, it just bugs me. ESPN's supposed to be your broadcast partner, your media partner. You're supposed to have a partnership there. And instead, they are just kind of embarrassing you, right? However... those late night games, I don't think they're going anywhere. I think the only thing the Pac-12 can really do to get ESPN to bid up on those rights is to play themselves off against ESPN with the likes of Amazon. And I think the Pac-12 is going to have a big decision to make there, where they're going to have to decide, is, you know, Ma and Pa Flanders flipping channels on a TV in Nebraska, you know, and is getting their viewership more important than getting a few extra $1 million from Amazon, because otherwise they're going to have to get Prime Video to watch the games. And
that's right.
So that the exposure piece, right? How many people are actually watching these games on Prime? And the NFL games that have started so far, the ratings have been exceeding expectations, but definitely below what broadcast TV has provided. So the Pac-12 is going to have a big decision to make. You take more money and sacrifice some exposure, or are they going to have to try to just maximize their exposure and take a little bit less money from ESPN? It sounds like that's what the choice is lining up to be, and we don't have news on that. Klyavkov has said that's going to be a while before we have news, but just food for thought as you're going into these negotiations.
Yeah, and you get the random rumors coming through from Neuheisel and others that, you know, the Washington and Oregon to the Big Ten, like, stoking that sort of fire again.
That is one that I just, you know, obviously when this news came out end of June, right, or about UCLA and USC, I think that just started all these, like, expansion rumors. But look back at the history of expansion. There's generally been a couple teams. And then there's stability for, you know, the next TV contracts. And then when the next TV contracts come up, yes, then there's another kind of round of that expansion.
Yep.
And I think if you're a Big Ten Huskies and Oregon to the Big Ten kind of truther, I think you've got to be assuming that this next TV contract is going to be a Pac-10 as we know it now to exist, maybe with expansion, but I think the 10 members are going to hold. And I think the next round, when the Big Ten, then they'll consider expansion. And I think at that point, if they want to invite Washington and Oregon, I think the revenue, I think the numbers have kind of borne out that those are going to be reduced shares. So if the Big Ten were to invite the Huskies, I think it's probably going to be at 50%. And then, you know, maybe down the line they'd be guaranteed 100% a full share, like Rutgers and Maryland had to do when they first joined. You're seeing them, you know, not really catching up with their peers in the Big Ten, and Maryland, I think, well, and Rutgers both turning it around a little bit this year, but you know, they still have not gotten full share of Big Ten money. They won't until the next contract kicks in. So that's going to be another decision point for Washington and potentially Oregon. If that does happen, what's worth it to them? And, you know, and if they're getting college football playoff appearances under the new format and they're getting to reap some of the rewards of that, a half share in the Big Ten might not really be that meaningful. So I think it's kind of absurd to say, like, it's a inevitability at this point. I think there's too many moving parts to say for sure.
Yeah, I'd agree. It looks just selfishly, it's, you know, down at UCLA, it's a bummer to think about not playing, not having that road game, and not being able to put something for all those Southern California, Washington alums and fans on the field to see every year.
But just think, BT, we could have a Big Ten Pacific Division with USC, UCLA, and Oregon.
That's right. Just like the old days. Yeah, that's right. It totally could be. And then we still get to go to, like, you know, we still get to go to Jersey and everybody else. So interesting to see how this thing shapes out, and it's big time contract dollars that are going to make or break the conference and the future of it moving forward and the viability to keep it together. Big week coming up for the Pac-12. Should we talk about the games this week?
Sure, let's shoot through it.
All right, look. So Oregon and UCLA on bye, waiting for their big showdown week after next. And I think that's going to be, boy, a marquee matchup that I'm excited to see. I'll just, maybe go Bruins in advance. Saturday kicks off 11 a.m. Cal at CU on Pac-12. And like you talked about, the fired Carl Durrell. What do you think about this? Cal, 15-point favorite.
Man, I mean, Colorado has just been unwatchable. I think Cal, you know, has actually shown a little bit of pluck. Here they are, 3-2, right? They did take a tough one at Washington State. They lost 28-9 last week, but they beat Arizona pretty easily in week four there, and they played Notre Dame down to the wire. So I think Cal could be pretty tough here. On the road, you know, 15 points isn't that much against this Colorado team. So give me the Bears, I guess.
Okay. So you still owe me $20. I'm going to let you get that back. Give me the Buffs here. I think as we talked about that crazy, like playing for this new coach, we don't know what's going to happen. Cal on the road, big line. Maybe it's 10, 11, but
at altitude. Add altitude,
add that to it. On the natural grass, give me that. Next one, Stanford at Notre Dame. 1-4 Stanford, 5-2 Notre Dame, just beat up on BYU. Notre Dame, the 17-point favorite, 4:30 on NBC. What do you say?
Well, the over-under in the Washington-Arizona game, I'm looking at that as 72.5. This Ooh. Game is 53.5, Notre Dame at Stanford at Notre Dame. You know, I think this is going to be ugly. I don't think either of these teams are that good. Notre Dame kind of squeaking by BYU last week. So, you know, I guess I'll take the Irish to win. I think Stanford's bad enough that that 17 points, you know, may look tempting. But I'm actually going to – I'd take Stanford in the points here, but I think the Irish are going to win this.
Yeah, I think Stanford is a unique kind of bad that isn't going to travel well. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but give me Notre Dame to cover that. This is the best one of the night. Number 7 USC against number 20 Utah. This one is big. Undefeated USC, 6-2 Utah. Utah favored by 3.5 at home on Fox. A lot of eyes on that. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Trojans get by this one. I think they're looking pretty hard at 12-0 regular season. You know, I mean, wow. I think this is, I mean, I don't think their schedule is particularly foreboding. You know, after this, you know, they're at Arizona, Cal, Colorado. I mean, show me what you got, right? And then that at UCLA at the Rose Bowl, you know, on November 19th, that'll kind of be the next big test they have. And then they're home against Notre Dame. Again, I just talked about it. I'm not a big fan of this Notre Dame squad. I think SC wins this one. I think they could be 12-0. With that said, the Utes are hungry coming off two straight losses. They've got them at home. I can't believe they're favored by 3.5, but I actually like the Utes in this one.
Wow. You like the Utes in this one, but you think it's close enough you take USC yeah, to cover it?
No, I'll give me Utah. I'll lay the points, but I think USC, I mean, this is not one I feel strong about, right? It's like I'm not super confident that, but I think if USC does win this one, you could see them run the table. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think Utah has the run game that we thought they would. I don't know if they can hang with SC. I think wrong team favored. I would take the money line on this one with SC. Late game and not too late for Pac-12 standards, but 6 p.m. is the last one of the night on Pac-12 Network. Wazoo at Oregon State. Oregon State by 3.5. This is nuts. Am I crazy? Is wrong team favored here?
Oh, I mean, I'll take the Beavs, man. I'm not a believer in the Cougars. I think that they, you know, they've shown some pluck. They're definitely going to be a tough little out this season. But I like at home. I like what Jonathan Smith's doing. I mean, yeah, they've had some tough times, but look at that win against Stanford last week. On you know, I think they're going to win this one.
We're on the opposite sides of this one. That's what makes this really fun. Give me Wazoo this week. Look, I think great. You know, you beat Stanford by one. You absolutely got manhandled by Utah. The best that they've looked all year is probably their loss to USC, and then probably the win to Fresno State and Boise State. But I don't think they're trending in the right direction. They've got some injuries that I think are going to cause them problems. And I think this one, give me the Cougs this week.
lots of fun in the Pac-12. Guys, we have got to get this win against Arizona State. I want to meet back here next Arizona. We'll meet back here next week talking about this Arizona win, getting the Huskies back on the right track with a 5-win season, starting to get healthier. Husky Nation, look, I get it. Bring your AM radio to the game. Listen to the Mariners while you cheer for the Huskies. Fill up that stadium as much as we can. Can I get a go, Dogs?
I mean, just $25 will get you into Husky Stadium, BT. It's going to be 10 times that to get into T-Mobile this weekend.
Oh, so. I think 25, you might be at a 500% markup if you pay $25 to get in. I think there's going to be a lot of free tickets floating around for this game. And I hope the players understand. I'm sure they do, but understand it and don't take this as the Husky Nation turn on. Because the last thing I'll say, I think you said it about Arizona State and I said it about UCLA, is, boy, it doesn't take much for Husky Nation to show up to those road games and getting loud. I mean, yeah, absolutely, in big numbers. And it didn't take much. It took 4 wins, some new blood, a coach that we're proud of, and Husky Nation will show up for you.
Well, and you've got 3 games here going into your bye. You can win every one of them. You know,
yep.
You got 2 of them at home, and then you got to go to Cal in the between. And, you know, then you got Oregon State 3 weeks. This is a winnable stretch. And if you can pull off 3 wins here, then you're looking at a real big showdown going into November against some of your rivals. So it could be real fun. It starts with Saturday. Got to beat the Wildcats. Just get it done by 1, and let's go home with a win.
I love it. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Woof.